This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll be listening to Brahms' First Symphony. It's a big one, so today we'll hear the first movement, tomorrow the second and third, and we'll finish up with the finale on Friday. Now, it's fitting that yesterday's episode featured a popular Beethoven piece, his Moonlight Sonata. It's hard to overstate the impact that Beethoven had on the classical music scene and the legendary figure that he became to many composers. So when he died, there was a real loss felt in the music community and a hole that someone had to fill. And for many people, Brahms was going to be the guy to fill it. Brahms was born 5 years after Beethoven died. His father was a working musician who gave him his first music lessons. His first piano teacher complained that he, quote, could be such a good player, but he will not stop his never-ending composing. And this wasn't just a silly complaint. Being a performer was a more stable and potentially lucrative field than composing. Even Brahms' parents were less than thrilled about their son's inclination towards writing music rather than playing it. But his compositions started to gain notice in his late teens, and he was introduced to the musical power duo of Robert and Clara Schumann when he was 20 years old. Robert was a well-regarded composer, Clara a well-known performer, and the two of them took a liking to Brahms' music, so much so that they pronounced him the heir to Beethoven's legacy. Now, this is a really nice thing to say, but it obviously weighed heavily on Brahms. Even as he started getting more and more notice, the expectations that others had for him shaped what he did. And for example, in the field of the symphony, Beethoven had such a wide reach over so many forms, but the symphony is what defined him, and for that matter, he defined the symphony. Starting with the Eroica, he broke through the molds that had been put in place by Haydn and Mozart, using the symphony as the grandest stage of personal expression. His Fifth and Ninth Symphonies are some of the most famous classical pieces ever, and back then, as now, if you put a Beethoven symphony on your orchestra's program, people will come in droves. So for the guy who is supposed to inherit Beethoven's lofty position in music, writing a symphony meant writing something spectacular, amazing, groundbreaking, something that would change everything just like Beethoven did. So it's not surprising that it took Brahms 21 years to write his first symphony, finally premiering it at the age of 43. By then, he had made his reputation writing various other pieces, including some orchestral pieces that seem kind of like symphonies. But he cemented his legacy with his first actual symphony. One prominent composer took to calling it Beethoven's Tenth because of both its similarities to a lot of Beethoven's music and the depth and quality of Brahms' writing. Brahms himself wasn't a huge fan of that nickname. He thought it was implying that his work was plagiarized or derivative, but it also meant that the, quote, next Beethoven had finally made his mark on the form that his predecessor had elevated to such great stature. Here's the Musopen Symphony with the first movement of Brahms' First Symphony.
Thank you.
It's such a gripping and dramatic first movement, and it may have taken Brahms over 20 years to write the sequel to Beethoven's great set of symphonies, but it was definitely worth the wait, and something that even Beethoven himself, I think, would have been proud of. Thanks to the Musopen Symphony for putting that on musopen.org, and thank you for listening. If you have the chance, please rate and review this podcast wherever it is that you're getting it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow we're going to be continuing with Brahms' First Symphony. We'll hear the second and third movements. See you then.